Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the number one voice of supply chain. Join us as we share critical news, key insights, and real supply chain leadership from across the globe, one conversation at a time.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton and the one and only Billy Ray Taylor with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's live stream. Billy Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Scott. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. It's like I'm catching up with industry royalty here today with Mr. Taylor. And I tell you, you continue to do big things out in industry. It's great to have you stop by here on The Buzz. Are you about ready to dive in?
I am ready. And thank you for having me. Good to be around a good friend.
That's right. We go way back. But folks, hey, today on The Buzz, where we every Monday at 12 noon Eastern time, we discuss a variety of news developments across global supply chain, across business, across leadership. News that matters is what we like to call it. And as you may know, The Buzz, all month long in April, is brought to you by our friends at DOS, the world's first adaptive resource platform. You can learn how DOS gives companies real-time visibility into their operational data and connects it seamlessly to the financial systems that run their business. Visit DOS.com. All right, so Billy Ray, we're going to be talking about manufacturing data for March. We're going to be talking about what business leaders' priorities are right now, given the current challenging landscape. We're also going to look at all the BS and nonsense in play when it comes to corporate jargon, all that and much, much more. And I should add, we're not live today, folks. We keep it real with our audience. We're not live today. Our team and me is on the scene at MODEX here in Atlanta, connecting with about 40,000 supply chain pros from around the world. But never fear, we're going to be back live with you next week. Billy Ray, all those topics and much, much more, including taking a look at some of the great work you're doing out in the industry. You already had your Wheaties and your vitamins this morning. You ready to roll?
Absolutely. I'm ready to go. My wife made sure I did all of the above.
Outstanding. Well, you got to do what you do day in and day out. But you know, before we get into the news and some of the topics we're going to talk about, you know, I've got a distinct advantage on our SCN Global fam out there because very familiar with your background, what you used to do, what you did, what you're doing next year maybe. And I think it'd be helpful context on the front end here for you to share a little bit about your background with our audience, including, I think, and Billy Ray, you know, we don't like breaking a 20-year rule, but I want to say you spent over 30 years leading and transforming manufacturing operations, right?
Absolutely. So with the legendary company, Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, I spent 30 years with Goodyear running manufacturing, commercial manufacturing. So I did that. I was one of the pioneers for lean and operational excellence. After 30 years, I retired, started a company called Linked Excel, meaning Linked Excellence. And we basically architect and implement operating systems. And then we give you away, give the software away. And it's like an MRI of your business. So it gives you an inside internal look at your business. So Linked Excel, we work with companies all over the world. That's what we do now. And I have the book, The Winning Link, which is actually the blueprint. So it's not just stories and what I think you should do. It's kind of what we did and we failed at it. And here's how you overcome those type of things. So that's what I do now. I go all over the world and I do a lot of keynote speaking. So I was just in Dubai. Did Dubai. Yeah, that was great. I've been all over. So had a, God, you appreciate this. I was in Hollywood, not recently, with the founder of UGG Boots, the founder of Outback, all right, and Paul Mitchell.
Man.
That was an exciting to get. And we're going to, I'm going to talk about some of those perspectives today when we have our conversation.
Well, and in addition to all of those heavy hitters, I think we're going to also talk about another heavy hitter in Vera, which contributes many anecdotes to your book, The Winning Link, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, in my mind, the greatest executioner in business I've ever seen.
I love that. All right, folks, stick around. We've got a great show of The Buzz here today, all powered by our friends at DOS. And you're going to love what Billy Ray Taylor brings to the conversation, as always. All right, before we get into some of the stories we're going to be covering here today, I want to tackle two things on the front end. First, hey, if you don't get enough Billy Ray Taylor today, stay tuned, because on April 29th, we got our next dose of Billy Ray Taylor as he joins us as our very special keynote for National Supply Chain Day. Me and Mary-Kate Love, who you see pictured there, we're really excited about this next installment where we really celebrate the people that make this industry happen. And don't let the name fool you when we talk about National Supply Chain Day, because we believe every country out there should have a National Supply Chain Day. So it's really all about a global movement. And Billy Ray, when you think of the people, the special, talented, hardworking, incredibly innovative people that make global supply chain, global industry run, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
Well, I look at supply chain and you hear a lot about strategy. Everybody, how if you do this, and what I really tell you, most people don't fail, or most companies don't fail because of bad strategies. They fail because they don't know how to execute. Mm. And they get so focused on the KPI, Scott, that they forget about the KPA. Mm. And what I'm seeing now, right, if you stand on the scale, if you want to lose weight, that's the KPI. But you have to focus on is how many calories you ate, right? How many miles did you walk? Those are KPAs. And that's when you start to tie those two together. It's the KPIs that get you there. It's the KPAs. And so that's what I'm seeing now.
So I'm going to take a guess. Now, I'm not quite as smart as you are, Billy Ray, but if I'm thinking KPIs, key performance indicators, and KPAs, my hunch is key performance actions. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Stuff.
So see how practically brilliant that is, really. And folks, you're going to find more of that in Billy Ray's keynote again coming up on April 29th. You can learn more about that in the book, The Winning Link, which we'll tackle towards the end of today's show. Big fan of that. Because, you know, Billy Ray, one quick thing before we move on to the second announcement I want to share is I love how down to earth and very practical that your point of view is. You know, keeping things simple is not simple. It takes a lot of talent and a lot of knowledge and expertise to do it. But man, it is so powerful when you can take really important concepts that can be really complicated and boil it down and communicate them in a simple manner that anyone can pick up and apply. That's critical, huh?
It's absolutely critical. Because those things, and also your standards, right? When you put those standards of how business should be ran, sometimes talent is not the edge with the current tournament going on for basketball, right? Yeah. Talent becomes an equal thing. Focus on the actions and priorities and what's your standard is what helps you win the game.
I like it. I like
That's what helps you win the game.
And my brackets are ruined, Billy Ray. My brackets. All right. So folks, join us April 29th. But there's another event we want to put on your radar that I've attended one of these in the past, and Billy Ray, I bet, has spoken at these in the past. And that is this event from our friends at the Association for Manufacturing Excellence. It's the 2026 Lean Summit in Charlotte, the Queen City, May 5th through the 7th. You got great speakers, workshops, tours, tools, you name it, all in an effort to help organizations across all sectors elevate their performance. So no matter if you're in manufacturing, healthcare, service industries, any industry, come on and join us. And we're going to drop the link in the chat, but you can, generally speaking, learn more at ame.org. And Billy Ray, what can folks expect from this Lean Summit up in Charlotte?
Well, it's beyond the tools, right? You get there often when tools lead, failure follows. I often say that. But what you'll get are the blueprints. You'll get the relationships. You're face to face with experts that you can also have that dialogue. So it's a practical experience as well that'll help you transition your company, your business, or your team. So it's an outstanding event. I'm going to be there as well. I'm going to fly in. I just talked to the president this morning and let her know I'm going to be there.
Okay. Now, Billy Ray, I'm tracking your plane now. Let's see, Dubai to Hollywood to New York City to London and then probably to Charlotte. Is that about how it goes?
Yeah. And then Atlanta, right?
Okay, that's right. I can't wait to get you here in the flesh, in person here. All right. So, folks, those are two great events. There's many, many others. We're going to share a couple of resources of how you can keep your finger on the pulse of what we're up to here at Supply Chain Now towards the end of the show. But we want to get into a couple of news stories and also pick Billy Ray's brain a little bit more. And for starters, we want to set the table, right? We want to take a look at some recent data on the U.S. manufacturing industry. So as reported here by our friends at Manufacturing Dive, there was a little bit of good news, at least, in the manufacturing industry last month, being March, here in the U.S. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the U.S. manufacturing industry added 15,000 jobs in March. That's a lot better than March 2025 last year, which showed a net loss of 5,000 jobs. And it's better than last month, being February 2026, which showed a net loss of 6,000 jobs. Now, leading the way when it comes to jobs, adding jobs, the transportation equipment and the fabricated metal products sectors were atop the list, along with the non-metallic mineral products sector. I need some converting charts to put sectors with products. The sector that lost the most jobs in March was the chemical sector, at least according to their data, followed by furniture and related products sector. Now, in related news, the S&P Global, let's see here, what's this called? S&P Global U.S. Manufacturing PMI held steady at 52.3, a reading of 52.3 in March 2026. Now, keep in mind, usually anything over 50 indicates that there's expansion, and anything under 50 indicates it's contraction, right? So this reading signaled solid expansion for the sector, driven by strong domestic demand, higher output, and new orders. That 52.3 reading is up from 51.6 in February. However, there's two sides of every coin. Input cost inflation reached its highest since August 2025, and supply chain disruptions due to Middle East military conflicts caused supplier delivery times to worsen. We're going to drop the link so you can learn more from both of these data sets. But Billy Ray, when you look at employment in manufacturing and you look at some of the expansion or contraction factors, pricing, new orders, you name it, what are some of your thoughts?
So I've actually took a deep dive in this with companies I work with. And recently I was looking into the latest labor data.
Yep.
And what I've seen, though, job openings really have held steady at 6.9 million.
Yep.
But the hiring dropped sharply to 4.8, the lowest since, when I look at the lowest since early pandemic levels, but quits have declined. And basically, in summary, the overall labor market, from my perspective and real live experience talking to executives, it's summed up as this: low hire, low fire.
Okay.
All so right. It's stable on the surface, but it's losing a little momentum underneath, but growth is slowing, but it's not stopping.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I mean by that is we're seeing right now is not a labor shortage or a labor crisis. It's a confidence gap. Companies are struggling to find, they're not struggling to find people. They're struggling to decide when to move. And it goes right back to what you just talked about, Scott. It complements what you were just talking about. And so I wouldn't push the panic button at all. I lived through a point where the funnel at the bottom was just as wide as the funnel up top. So the turnover was churning. That's not the case today. Mm. People were hiring three workforces in a year, right? Retention was the problem. That's not the case right now.
Yeah. The other thing I think that is a big time, I'm about to ask you some common threads through some of your big time discussions with business leaders out there. But I'll tell you, one of the common threads we've seen, and it didn't start in January. It didn't start last year. It goes back several years. And that is this enormous uncertainty factor that has seemingly continued to compound and compound and compound. And look, folks, I'm not Pollyanna. I know a lot of that comes with the territory in global supply chain, right? There's always some uncertainty, but between economic, industry, geopolitical, regulatory, you name it, all of them feed into this massive full chalkboard equation of all these variables. And a lot of experts say, hey, we're at near historic heights when it comes to uncertainty. Really quick, Billy Ray, comment on that. Is that what you're seeing too?
Absolutely. And indecisiveness. They're struggling to make decisions because of the uncertainty. And no decision is a decision.
Right? So true.
And one of the things I see, thinking about executive psychological safety, we often talk about the people that are doing the work, right? They fear making decisions. And so everything stays stagnant. And I'm seeing that in executives now.
Mm-hmm.
Psychological safety, and Scott, to put it in a Vera term, they're no longer playing to win, they're playing not to lose.
I like it.
And then they're taking those decisions away from the people that are executing the business. It's so much bureaucracy in business now that, and it's also being exposed through AI and other things, right? We're smarter, we're faster. And so it's no longer do as I say, right? And just go along. Now people saying, explain to me what you say.
Right.
So I have a better understanding.
All right. So Billy Ray, you mentioned a bunch of things there. I'm going to come back to the Vera terms. We need more Vera terms. And I told y'all that was going to come up today, right? Vera, of course, his mother that has some of the best anecdotes and takes on life and business. Then that psychological safety observation. That's an interesting one. We'll pull up in just a minute and maybe talk more about that. But Billy Ray, you started, you're reading my mind because you know where I'm going next with you. You're already kind of opening a can of worms. The supply chain leadership pulse check, which we really enjoy doing, especially with folks like you, Billy Ray, that you know are working with some of the biggest movers and shakers out there, you know, have conversations at the C level, but also on the front line and all points in between. And you got your finger on the pulse of where business leaders' minds are at, which is what you were just talking about. What else really sticks out common theme-wise in terms of what are priorities right now for business leaders out there in this crazy environment we're in?
Well, AI is no longer a buzzword. It gets thrown out there now as AI is revolutionizing the game, but it's not. And people think that AI is changing the game. It's not. AI is exposing the game. And so when I see executives and I talk to them and I say, what does that mean? And they tell me, we thought we were data driven AI is proving that we're not.
Interesting.
And leaders, right, thought they had alignment. AI is showing the gaps in their organizations. And so when they look at embedded problem solving or understanding their issues, organizations that thought they were efficient, AI is revealing that they have waste. And so the summary, what I would say now around one of the things that are on the pulse is AI didn't break your business. It revealed it.
Mm.
And you often hear me say you can't manage a secret.
Yes, that's right. That's one of my favorites.
AI is exposing those secrets. Your own data secrets. And if your foundation isn't right, AI just makes you fail and execute faster.
Mm.
So understand that failure is a part of it. And then you know what to do to fix it. But people are using AI now. It's how you're using it. How are you using it to get you information faster, to make better factual decisions? But also, people are afraid of it because it exposes those that are accountable. It exposes what they're not doing.
And some folks run and go hide from accountability. We know.
Oh, 100%. It's one of the things that I've recently been with the CEO and we had a conversation. And I asked some specific conversations around what a real business should have. These are the core elements of a company. And when I went inside the business and asked those leaders, they had no idea. They had no idea. Now, here's the thing. The leader said, wow, Billy, they've been faking it until they made it. And I said, I'm going to be a little more politically correct. Okay. When someone asked me, so Billy, have you been in a position where you fake it till you make it? I said, no, I want to be in the mindset of I'm modeling it until I make it.
Mm.
You want to be able to do the work. AI gives you the information to help you close the gap faster. But you're not faking until you make it. As a leader, put the data there, and then now you help them. And you write, Lododo, learn one, do one, teach one. Learn one, do one, teach one. And now you build a resistant bench strength. You build a team that's learned through practical application. It's the one thing this leader I was recently with, Scott, it was one of the most profound quotes I've ever heard. And he asked, if you think I'm coming in here to help you, you're wrong. And you might as well not even sign a contract with me. And I'm sitting there saying, wow. Now, this is a 7-figure contract he's walking away from.
Man.
But he said to me, and we've talked about it before, he says, if you think of an egg, when the egg is cracked from the inside, life begins.
Right.
But when the egg is cracked from the outside, life ends.
Mm.
We're having that egg for breakfast. Right?
We are.
So how are you cracking your egg when it comes to your company?
So, all right. So folks, got a new acronym, courtesy of Billy Ray Taylor. And that's that LODOTO, right?
That's right.
LODOTO. So write this down. Right. That'll make sense. Learn one, do one, teach one. And Billy Ray, I liked your spin on, because as that relates to, it's not fake it till you make it, right? Because to your point, that's kind of the wrong connotation, right?
That's right.
It's model it till you make it, right? You keep modeling.
Absolutely.
Keep experimenting. You keep learning. And then you have some breakthrough moments, repeated breakthrough moments, right?
100%. Think about your son or your daughter. When they're trying to hit that ball, they've got their favorite hero, their right. favorite Michael Jordan moment. They're modeling it until they make it.
That's right.
They're modeling it. And so stealing shamelessly is not, you shouldn't be condemned for that, right? That's how we all got to where we are.
That's right. All right. So a couple final things here. And then we're going to, again, we're having a Supply Chain Leadership Pulse Check with Billy Ray Taylor, one of the few that really delivers on this pulse check. You've got, Billy Ray, you're always willing to keep it real and to say what needs to be said. And I bet a lot of folks would love to talk with you about some of your maybe counterintuitive viewpoints on AI and workforce and whatnot. And I bet you relish those conversations. Is that right, Billy Ray?
I love it. I love it. I love to have that type of dialogue because I learn, right? Mm-hmm. I learn from these discussions because there's other different viewpoints, right? There's more than one way to make a sweet potato pie, right? Or a German chocolate cake. And so when we talk about it, together we can make the best, the ultimate.
That's right.
And so I love dialoguing with people on LinkedIn in many ways.
Yep.
I love to connect with people.
We got to keep the dialogue going, whether we agree, whether we disagree. And really, hopefully, we have more of the latter, because that's when we're having the perspective, the market intel exchange, perspective exchange, knowledge exchange. That's when we can really start shining a light into our blind spots, because all of us have them. And that's really where industry wins and teams win, when we can exchange those kindred spirits that don't always align. Here's where I want to go next. Billy Ray, because I'm really curious, very curious of this next story and your reaction to it. Okay. So I'm going to pull up the graphic here. And this comes to us from our friends at HR Brew. And we're going to be talking about some of the nonsense that goes on in organizations everywhere. There's probably lots of definitions of nonsense, but for here, we're talking corporate jargon, the cliches, the sayings and the acronyms and the phrases that many times make no sense or they're used out of context. So as reported here by HR Brew, there's new research from Cornell University that points out how buzzwords can hurt a workplace, can hurt organizations, can hurt teams. The research is creatively named the Corporate Bullshit Receptivity Scale, Development, Validation, and Associations with Workplace Outcomes. Hey, that's the name of it, right? The Hold It Against Me, that's the name of it. We're going to shorten that down to BS for the rest of the conversation. This is authored by a cognitive psychologist named Shane Luttrell. The research here studied how and where corporate jargon and acronyms were used accurately and inaccurately, and the impact that it had on influencing professionals and that decision-making we referenced earlier. And one of the bottom lines from the research seems to be all industry professionals are susceptible to BS that appeals to our biases. So not only is critical organizational communication and decision-making susceptible to corporate BS, but when it comes to the workforce, there are big risks. Performance reviews can be impacted negatively when corporate jargon interferes with expectations, for example, that are shared with employees. Sometimes, as the research points out, this is caused by supervisors not wanting to be direct and brutally honest, so they lean on corporate BS and jargons in their communications to team members. So Billy Ray, there's lots of different layers of the onion here, because you've got, you and I probably, and I bet a lot of our viewers and listeners out there have seen folks use acronyms inaccurately or use phrases or cliches inaccurately, because it helps with communication flow. Hey, I've done it. I've done that. So I'll point myself there. And then on the flip side, you've got a different layer of the onion where supervisors, hiring managers, you name it, team leaders, they don't want to lead with the blatant, honest truth, because they kind of want to sugarcoat it a bit, which is a different part of this corporate BS equation. And we've all probably been very familiar with that too, because everybody's not a frank communicator. And oftentimes that can really hurt team members that want to do, you know, they want to turn in an A+ performance, but it's moving goalposts. So Billy Ray, that's a lot of different takes on this research that was kind of focused on corporate BS. But what are your thoughts?
I'm laughing because at the end of it, I'm going to share a story. I lived it. And right. it was a really funny situation, but I actually pulled the lead to the side. But first, one of the things that I've seen, the jargon often creates the illusion of intelligence. But it's, what that leader's doing is actually masking a lack of clarity or substance. And so listening to you, I've got two high impact takeaways.
Okay.
When I think about that, and when jargon and the leader thinks they're communicating, the language you tolerate in your business determine the quality of thinking in your business. And so this isn't about words, it's about decision quality at a leadership level. So if you have a leader that's sitting up there and they're promoting the wrong leader, they're promoting the wrong language, here where it gets dangerous. The people that they believe are polished are the people they'll follow. And they're going to follow them down the road where they're going to lead to destruction. And it's ineffective decision-making. And what I've seen in those leaders, going back to, you know, we've heard the phrase winging it.
I'm guilty as charged sometimes, Billy Ray. I'm guilty as charged. Been there, done it.
Yeah. And so that's the case. But I remember taking over a business and I was in one sector and they gave me off highway and I was getting ready to go into a meeting with this deck. It's probably this thick, literally. And the guy hands me the deck, who's the VP below me, reporting to me. And he goes, we're going to this meeting. I said, I'm not going in there with that deck. Really, they're going to analyze. I said, this deck is a distraction. Wow. I mean, and so I go in over 3 pages. I deliver on every metric that they've asked me to deliver. And the leader running the business, that business, comes up to me in front of everyone and says, so Billy, I see you hit all your metrics, but what is your OEE? And I looked at him and I smiled and I'm thinking, are you serious? And I didn't say it to him. I said, I'll tell you what, can we take this discussion offline? Because Scott, I knew he had no idea what OEE was, but the person that was in my role prior didn't know either. So he could pull that wool over his eyes. When he got back in my office one-on-one, I asked him, I said, excuse me, other than spelling OEE, tell me, what does it mean? He looked me square in my eye and says, Billy, I can't.
Wow.
And I told him, I says, listen, I could have embarrassed you in front of everyone and you'd have lost credibility. That wasn't the goal. But if you ever do that to me again, because you're misleading people around high effective manufacturing can contribute and we should be a team. So you see that distraction, Scott, that's what happens. Those things, people are not focused on the right thing. And that leader's just trying to get promoted. It's all about self. Or, now, I have winged it. Trust me. I'm going to be very honest. I've winged it too, right?
We all have, whether in college, on an exam, or in the business world, you name it, right? You know, that example, though, is a good one, Billy Ray, because whether it applies to manufacturing or supply chain or business circles or other sectors, it's interesting when you pull a group of leaders and managers together. It's almost inevitably, I think there's an unwritten rule somewhere that 10% or 1% of folks in any meeting, their objective is to throw a stone. Yes. And they don't always know about the stone they're throwing, but it's like a psychological, they want to be seen kind of above whoever they're throwing the stone at. And Billy Ray, this has been happening since dinosaurs first walked Earth. It'll probably happen long after our AI overlords come after them and take over society. Absolutely. It is a human thing. Is that right?
It is. It is a human thing because we want to be valued. That's one of the biggest misconceptions or missed opportunities that leaders have when they're leading people. As husbands, the greatest thing we can offer our wives, and I'm saying it because you and I are both men and we're married and we talk often. My wife wants to be valued more than anything for me. If I can make sure that that happens, my whole household changes, the environment changes. Now, at leaders, when they're up there spinning it up, they're trying to make sure they're valued. They're giving you this here, I'm bigger than nice. The guy, I mean, I'm a former athlete, the guy with the big car, the nice clothes, right then and there, that's about them feeling like the person,
right?
The value. But when it comes to team, you have to make sure that you provide that clarity, that consistency, that substance. And that's what's missing now. But Scott, what's really damaging are those people are getting promoted now. And the people following them, they know the truth. And so you're really hurting your organization.
We could be here all day talking about this topic. And folks, we'd love to get your take on this article about the corporate BS factor and a variety of different layers and levels. So let us know. But going back to your point there, Billy Ray, clarity is a beautiful thing, right? Yeah. And, folks are going to be, there's plenty of folks out there that we've probably worked with some, managed some, worked for some. And they're like that gentleman that Billy Ray was talking about, that person that Billy Ray was talking about. Tell me about OEE, even though they had no idea. They just wanted a challenge. First step, we got to be aware, right? Whether it's this research piece about corporate jargon, the corporate BS, whatever, we got to be aware so we can figure out a smart path to overcome or to engage or to, you name it, right? Billy Ray. Mm-hmm. By the way, if Amanda asks me about OEE or any other question, she knows exactly what she's talking about. And I take it to the bank. How about you? So,
absolutely. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it.
That's right.
That simple.
So really quick, overall equipment effectiveness. I had to Google that acronym to remind me what that is. 85% world class. It's as I understand it, Billy Ray, it measures plants' equipment and the performance of how their equipment, basically how their equipment's running. It probably factors in, I'm assuming, maintenance downtime, overall productivity. I bet quality is probably maybe factored in a certain way, shape, or form. It's been a long time since I've talked about OEE in plants, Billy Ray. I'm talking your language with that, huh?
Absolutely. And you know what makes it funny? I had delivered every part they wanted on time in full, 100%. So what did OEE have to do with that conversation at all? That was my point I'm trying to make.
So back to Goodyear, one of my favorite phrases that we talk about anytime you join us. See, I think you shared this in your very first appearance here on Supply Chain Now years ago. As you were leading at least one, numerous plants at North America footprint for that matter at Goodyear, you had a mantra that you use at least at one plant, if not numerous plants, round and black and out the back. When you're making tires, as long as they're round and black and getting them out the back, shipping them, that was a good day. Is that right, Billy Ray?
That was in the old days, right? Before quality and all of that really hit. Now, I just wanted numbers back. The game changed. I just wanted numbers back then, beyond the numbers, right? Before then, round and black and out the back. Keep them coming, fellas.
Love it.
Keep them going.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, folks, by the way, we're going to touch on the book in just a second. There's a lot of anecdotes from all of Billy Ray's stops, especially in the manufacturing world, that you're going to enjoy. All right. So let's do this. We've talked about, y'all go check out that Corporate Jargon article from our friends at HR Brew. Before we continue on with our dear friend, the one and only Billy Ray Taylor here on The Buzz powered by DOS, I want to make sure this is on your radar. I want to invite our entire SCN Global fam to connect with us at one of our favorite yearly events. We're going to be serving as media partners once again at the Gartner Supply Chain Symposium in Orlando, May 4th through the 6th. It's right around the corner, less than a month out. That's crazy. I think we conducted 15 or 20 interviews at Gartner last year, some of the best of the year, in my view, in my opinion at least. And if you're interested in being a part of our coverage, you can reach out to Catherine Hintz and our team for a lot more information. And we're also going to be dropping a link to the event there in the chat. Billy Ray, I'm hoping that it's not going to be 95 or 100 degrees already in Florida when we're there in May, but I'm not liking my chances. What do you think?
I think it's going to be pretty warm there. I think it's going to be pretty warm. And that's not a bad thing. I kill with my friends. And listen, considering if you lived in Chicago or Minnesota, New York, you're probably looking for that type of good weather.
That's right. All right. So we're coming down the home stretch on this edition of The Buzz, again, powered by our friends at DOS. And I want to ask you again about your book, The Winning Link. And I've got my own copy that you've signed, and I've got several extra copies because I like giving them out to folks that really like no nonsense, been there, done that, practical reads. I want to ask you this, Billy Ray, because it's been a couple of years since the first edition went out, right? And now I think it's in its third printing because it's been popular. I think it's still top 100 business book on Amazon, if I heard you correctly earlier. Mm-hmm. What's the, you know, and I see some of the cool video that comes out of your keynotes and events and where folks are asking you to sign their copy. And I bet you get tons of feedback. What's some of your favorite feedback you've gotten related to this book?
Well, I do. And it's great to see the people come in because I never turn down a good selfie, first of all. All right. I have a favorite saying, Scott. You make people visible, they make you valuable.
Mm.
And so I take the opportunity to shake every hand, take any selfie. But the feedback that really, when I think about my purpose and the purpose of writing the book, they talk about how the book changed how they lead, not just how they think. And so they said, one person stopped and recently says, really, I stopped managing reports and start managing execution. Mm. And so what the book does is talks about, it teaches you how to win, how to define winning, align yourself to win, and how to put a system in place so you can execute winning. And even if you hit the lottery, the business will keep running.
Mm.
Right. And the one lady I recently talked to, she says, I now run my business with rhythm, structure, and clarity.
Ooh, I like that.
That was heartwarming. And so the feedback I get, visible and repeatable, and it's based off experience. It's not based off theory.
Yeah.
And like I said, Scott, they come back and they say, hey, this may not have been applicable for me because it's manufacturing. I run a nonprofit, right? Or I run a series of retail stores. It's not a manufacturing-based book. It's an execution-based book. I didn't know that. I didn't think of it. They're like, no, you know, in the quotes, the ugly baby, right? Can you have the conversation? I like the ugly baby, whereas that's something we don't like to talk about. Now, right. It's not just the ugly baby. What I mean by that is, how do you have those uncomfortable conversations? And I tell people, let the process be the bad guy. Right? Don't get into it over those personal, emotional. Scott, if we agreed that I'm going to be on the podcast today, tomorrow, and you tell me a time, and I'm repeatedly late, don't call me and start yelling, you're often late. You say, listen, the standard was you show up 15 minutes, I send you this, we do this, and this is what we're going to do. And if I keep violating that, make a decision not to have me on your podcast again based on the fact that I can't follow your standard. See, let the standard be the bad guy. I don't like confrontation. I don't shy away from it, but I have it based on the standard is the agreement. And like I tell my daughter, she's dating. And I tell her, I said, listen, what's your standard? That's the first question. The second thing I tell her, I said, dating is like hiring an employee. The best you're going to get is the first 30 days. If they're not doing it, they're not meeting your standard, fire them.
Oh, man. So this applies to manufacturing, supply chain, industry, and dating, and maybe even family.
100%. So Scott, I'm going to ask you a question to prove the point. If you got a daughter and you say curfew's at 11 o'clock, your daughter comes in at 1:30 a.m. and you don't say anything, what's the new standard?
Ooh, 1:30. That's right.
Because you never said anything. But if you had a conversation with her, honey, I agree, 11 o'clock, you've got a car, I pay your insurance, I pay, give me the keys. Yep. Based off what? You know, so that's what I mean, great leadership. And that's what the book talks about. How do you hold and set the standard?
Love it. And going back to what you, some of your feedback you gotten, I like that rhythm, structure, and clarity.
That's right.
And that's almost like the Holy Trinity. And it comes to the business leadership world. You got those three things. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of it figured out, especially if it's across the organization. So a lot of good stuff. Folks, go check out. You're going to love the book, The Winning Link. Order it and find out what millions and millions of folks have already found out. And that's Billy Ray Taylor's perspective, no-nonsense perspective that works across industry, even as it applies to your dating life, folks, even as it applies to your parental journeys too.
Right.
Okay, so let's do this, Billy Ray. I'm about to make sure folks know how to connect with you and the cool things you're doing at LinkedXL. But before I do, I mentioned this on the front end, but now is the time, folks. You got to really find trusted sources of information and guides. You need more Sherpas out there, right, to navigate through this disruptive time frame. Billy Ray Taylor is certainly a Sherpa you can trust. So definitely do that. And also, come check out all of our live programming, right? So today, again, we recorded this edition. We're usually live on The Buzz, but we have no shortage of live programming at Supply Chain Now. You can go over to the new supplychainnow.com and click on upcoming live programming. You can stay apprised of our schedule there. And while you're there, be sure to check out our resource hub. And this is where we have blogs, ebooks, white papers, tools, research, you name it. And it's not the most sexy named title or portal on our website, but I love what we're doing with the resource hub. And you might too. So go check that out. Again, it's at supplychainnow.com. Okay. As we wrap here today, Billy Ray, I want to ask you about a couple things, because before I ask you how folks connect with you and the LinkedXL team, y'all have got some new news, because there's a new school of thought that y'all have launched. Tell us about that really quick.
Yes, we launched what's called the School of Business Execution, and it's SKOOL. Yep. And what we do is we offer free templates on how to build your strategy on a page. So if you're a business or if you're just a function, we give you the templates free with video. And so it's kind of the way we've been giving back. We had a couple of companies we were helping, some nonprofits, and we started the School of Business Execution for entrepreneurs. So that's kind of what we've been up to. Again, traveling all over the world, doing keynotes and spreading the news. And I'm excited about National Supply Chain Day. If you hadn't planned on attending, it's going to be a great keynote for you.
It is. April 29th, folks. Write that down. Join us. It's free. It is free. And beyond having the good news that is Billy Ray Taylor, we got some good news as it relates to some of the individuals that we're going to honor based on their contributions industry. Hey, Billy Ray, so beyond the School of Business Execution, beyond keynotes, beyond the Winning Link, LinkedXL, where you're helping leaders and their teams find their own rhythm, structure, and clarity, how can folks connect with you? I know you are offering demos. You demo pretty regularly. How can folks track you down there?
So on LinkedXL.com, and what we do now is we hate for people to have any buyer remorse, and we don't want sellers remorse, right? So what we do is give them a sandbox. We let them play. We build it, and you play with it for 3 months. Okay. So the MRI, we give you the MRI of your business and let you run with it. You know, my wife said, well, what are you doing giving it away? And I'm like, no, it's a value proposition. And people need to know that's what it is.
Okay.
And so that's what we do now with LinkedXL. We've worked with some major hospitals now and some major companies. And I'll tell you, Scott, it's been really interesting. And going back to that thing you just talked about, that rhythm, structure, and clarity, right? Do people know? So that's what we're doing now.
It's a winning combination there. It's like, what, in New Orleans, you got bell peppers, onions, and what's the third part of the Trinity down there when they cook with this? Bell peppers, it's onions, garlic. I think. Mm-hmm. No. You know what, Billy Ray, I'm about to alienate a big valued portion of our listening and viewing audience. I know what it is. It's celery.
I was about to say celery.
Bell pepper. Woo.
Hey, my wife cooks one heck of a gumbo.
Oh, okay. Next time.
She probably ran in here in my office if she'd heard you. He's messing up the gumbo, Billy.
Oh, I don't want to get anybody. I don't want to. My culinary mistakes should be my own. I don't want to misguide anybody out there. But hey, folks, you can connect with Billy Ray Taylor on LinkedIn. but you can also learn more about what him and the Linked XL team is doing at linkedxl.com. Billy Ray Taylor, this was kind of an abbreviated edition of The Buzz. I always enjoy your perspective on manufacturing and leadership and technology and turning teams around, right? Because these teams made up of these really valuable, talented individuals, 99.999% they want to win, they want to perform, they want to deliver. Very few people clock in the mornings and say, I want to skate by today. That's the few minority.
Absolutely.
But I really appreciate what you're doing to help organizations find their rhythm, structure, and clarity. You get the final word today, Billy Ray.
Oh, I want to thank you all. Thank you for the platform you provide. And I mean that with all sincerity. We've been knowing each other for a while now. We flew to places to meet each other.
That's right.
We've had the opportunity to sit down and talk, break bread. And not only your platform's good, you're a great person. And I was asked a question by my son here recently, who's become my mentor, it seems. We're going to be at the AME conference doing a panel called A Next Generation Legacy.
Like
it. So where I'm going with it is, he asked me a question. I want to end it with this. He says, Dad, how do you pick your friends? He said, but when you built teams, how did you consistently put good teams around you? And I said, it's really simple, son. I said, most people, most leaders, they just look at the resume. It's the last thing I look at. I says, I want to know about character first, chemistry second, and then capability. I need them all three. But if you're a person of no character, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
If we can't work together and we have no chemistry, you're going to destroy the team. And if you're not capable of doing the job we've asked you to do or we need you to do, then we're going to self-destruct. So when I come to you, I'm going to end with this. You and your platform, you are a strong person of character. Right? I love the chemistry. When we spoke recently at an event, I think the camera person says, well, you and him work really well together. And the capability of your platform is outstanding. And that's where I want to end.
That's high praise come from the Billy Ray Taylor. And I really appreciate that business benediction, I'll call it, Billy Ray Taylor, the business benediction. Folks, I want to thank my esteemed co-host and fearless leader, Billy Ray Taylor, for being here. Go out and get your copy of The Winning Link. And if you don't, at least go find where Billy Ray is keynoting. And hey, April 29th, remote, virtual, you don't get any easier than that.
Yes.
So come see them on National Supply Chain Day. Big thanks to our friends at DOS. You can learn more about innovative things they're doing at DOS.com. Of course, big thanks to Amanda and Tricia and Joshua all behind the scenes. Most importantly, big thanks to our global audience, our SCN global fan for being here. But the last thing I'm going to say in this business benediction is I got to challenge you. You know the homework task our audience with every week, and there's wonderful options here today. Take one thing. Billy Ray brought tons of actual perspective here today. Been there, done that perspective. Take one thing. Share it with your team. Put it into practice. You know it's all about deeds, not words. That's how we're going to keep transforming business for the better, leaving no one behind. And with that said, on behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now team, Scott Luton challenging you to do good, give forward, be the change that's needed. We'll see you next time right back here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Join the Supply Chain Now community for more supply chain perspectives, news, and innovation. Check out supplychainnow.com, subscribe to Supply Chain Now on YouTube, and follow and listen to Supply Chain Now wherever you get your podcasts.